you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily. Presented by Mocarum Injury Lawyers.
That's right, baby. Mocarum Injury Lawyers. Hard as hell to say. Easy to dial. 281-222-2222. Everybody out there, appreciate y'all listening. However you're listening or watching, we greatly appreciate it. But I do want to encourage everybody out there to make sure you download the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. The Odyssey app is big time. Take us any and everywhere you go. You can keep us right there on your hip. Obviously, live, the shows are on there live. You don't have the static of radio. We don't go out of range like you do on radio when you leave the city. Nope, you can take us any and everywhere that you go. There's also some really cool features on there to hit rewind and go listen when Nick Caserio is on with Payne and Pendergast. You can listen to that at any point in time. There's also every segment is podcasted. When we were out at Stars Sports Bar and Grill last week, we had a listener asked about how quickly Tyler gets the segments podcasted. And of course, as Tyler always does, we literally had just sat down maybe 3 minutes after going off the air, and we flipped open the Odyssey app, and every single segment was already individually podcasted right there, labeled, easy for you to find. And all the podcasts, all the Odyssey podcasts are on that on the Odyssey app as well, which I always like to let y'all know that our guy T. Mill and Patrick Creighton, they do the Big Orange Wagon. All things Astros, everything's Astros. I encourage y'all to check that out. Yeah, as you can with all of them. Also, today, the official show weigh-in has happened, y'all. We're going to hold his ass accountable now, which I know on the text line helping the likes of what Ron's over to read. They're damn sure going to, I don't know if you call it hold him accountable or not.
Text line coming through, show needs to have open ass surgery. Someone texted.
Well, I don't know. He's got a large crack. And
texted in twice just in case I missed
it. In case you missed it, it's in twice, huh? The weigh-in happened. We're going to hold him accountable. He's going to get this. He's going to get his weight down a little bit. And
hopefully more than a little.
A lot. Maybe a lot. We'll see.
We'll take our time with it.
We'll see. So what was it? 310.8. And I'm going to get on board with him. I love a challenge. I like fighting Father Time. I like to try to keep my weight down, although it's at 261.2?
Yeah.
261.2. So
you said you were 250 on the button 8 days ago.
I was 250 on the button about 8 days ago, man. I don't know. It's been apparently I let myself go a little bit this week. I fluctuate quite a bit, so
it's crazy how fast they can just go.
Hey, nothing like getting caught on a heavy day on weigh-in day before you start a little challenge. I'm here for it, man. So if you're out there and maybe you just feel inclined to be healthier. Maybe you've got a little bit of a weight issue. Hey, get in the game. Maybe you just like to work out. Get in the game.
We got a lot of people saying they're in it.
Yeah, keep us posted, man. Sports Radio 610, the Twitter account, man. Shoot some pictures in, shoot some thoughts in. We'll keep this thing rolling. I'm all in on a health challenge, man. So we're gonna get that rolling. This weekend was a big weekend. A little reaction Monday. Here's a big weekend. The Astros split with the Rangers. I look at it like this. Starting pitching was solid. I know we can pick apart a couple of the outings, but solid pitching across the board, starting pitching across the board. The bats fell asleep two of the four games. The two games the bats showed up and gave us a chance, we did work. And so the Astros right now, no Yordan Alvarez and no Wisniewski. You look up, no Spencer Arrighetti's still not back. And you still were able to go to DFW. You were able to go to the Rangers and split right there. Yeah, man, I think that's a plus. And by the way, I know Fromber had a rough, what was it, fourth inning. But boy, those two performances against the Rangers from Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez got to be encouraging if you
were
Astros.
Not just
fan.
Those, not just against those two. They've been all, I think both, well, Hunter's separate. He's done it damn near every single start. I think his worst start was a win where he gave up three runs. But Framber has started to roll the last, I'd say, three or four starts.
Yeah.
Right? The previous one against the Royals, he went eight innings. I believe one run in that one. And this one, he held afloat and is getting you innings. Seven innings again on that one. So, both of those guys are anchoring this thing.
That 1-2 punch, Josh Hader again. I didn't see if he got in early action, but I know I think he punched him out last night. Yesterday. I think he had a good outing. Anyway, the bullpen has been good enough, and we'll see if we can turn this thing around. But not turn it around, but if we can get this thing on track with Yordan Alvarez. But solid weekend from the fellas. And the Texans, guys, the Texans have announced their offseason workout dates, which, look, I'm always excited about. But I think any and every fan, given that you got Nick Cayley's never called plays offensively, you got a bunch of offensive linemen that are new and in here. And the selling point about this offensive line, if it's going to work out, y'all, the selling point is the competition's through the roof. They're going to be accountable to each other. The chemistry is going to completely change. The mindset in that room is going to change. Well, if you make all these changes, you get Laremy Tunsil out of here, and these offseason, these OTA workouts, which aren't mandatory, if they aren't involved and if they aren't productive, then boy, you really, really miss the boat. You take a dip in talent, you better trend upwards in accountability and showing up and competing and that kind of thing. The OTAs.
You got the dates?
I do. The Texans OTA offseason workouts, May 28 through 30, which is right around the corner. And they also got one June 2nd and 3rd, and they skipped the 4th for some reason, and then they come back on the 5th. The mandatory mini camp is June 10th and 11th. I don't know what all of this action that I'm talking about they're going to allow us to be a part of, but you better believe whichever it is, we will be. Sports Radio 610 will damn sure be out there, boots on the ground. But I'll speak for myself. I'll be out as many as I possibly can.
That's interesting, Clint. As you said, that those dates there that are ahead of, I think, the 10th and 11th, is that when it starts?
Mandatory minicamp.
Mandatory. Those dates before, how many dates are that are OTAs leading into that? About five or six dates?
There's six. 28 through 30, June 2nd, 3rd, and then 5th. So there's six there. And then,
do you think any of the major contributors won't be there? I wonder how many major contributors, because last year we know Laremy Tunsil didn't get there until, well, not just last year, every year, didn't get there until mandatory minicamp. Maybe there were some others. I feel like, Clint, there is a chance. When they talked about, Nick was on with Payne and Pendergast and talked about the attendance they had during the offseason stuff, I bet you they got a chance to have almost all of these dudes in here. I'd be surprised any major contributors not there.
I would be surprised as well, man. I think we talk about this all the time, and I think there are a handful of guys, most of them on defense, but there are a handful of guys that you look up and you go, man, it's, you know, I don't necessarily need to see them out there, the risk that comes with. But when you look on the offensive side of the football and you got a new offensive coordinator, I mean, you look at Joe Mixon. Like, Joe Mixon's one that comes to mind. Like the lower leg issues, the getting up there in age a little bit, the wear and tear last year, that, you know, he's a straight up dog. You know, he's not going to go out there and earn more respect than he already has. But you look up and you go, hey, it's a new system. And this is a guy that needs to be catching the ball out of the backfield. He needs to be lining up all over the field. There needs to be some creativity with Joe Mixon used. And so if it's just in a sense of let's get Joe Mixon involved in different ways and play fast and work on explosives and have fun, then do those things with him versus just wearing and tearing on the legs like you would a normal running back. To me, that would be cool if they're going to get into those things. But yeah, I mean, I would think all hands on deck are going to be there. That's why you made the changes that you made offensively with the Texans. So I would think that all those guys will be there. Defensively, I think it's just how they're wired, to be honest with you.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, CJ going to be here.
Yep.
Stingley, I'm watching. He's just been here the whole time. We'll see. Maybe a Joe Mixon, something that probably people you don't worry about. Maybe you know they're working out, but I'd imagine they're probably there too. You know, Will's going to be here. It'll be this will This, I think, Clint, will have the new feel that, yeah, that D'Amico wants.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's why you make the moves. But, hey, the NFL this week is due to vote on some rule changes. I know earlier this year they went ahead and voted on a couple of things. Both teams will now have possessions in overtime. So they changed the overtime rule, regular season overtime rule. Remember before, if a team that got the ball first scored a touchdown, then the game was over.
Yep.
If they kicked a field goal, the other team got a possession. Now, my understanding is both teams are going to get a possession. What was it? They said they amended the quarter, the overtime period to 10 minutes. What was it? Was it 15 or 12?
It used to be 15, but it's been 10 for a while.
Well, yeah. the that may be the point they were making, was that they OT was amended a while ago. They also expanded replay assist to some degree. But what's being voted on this week, I think what would interest the fans the most, I think there's two things. The tush push, which is very self-explanatory. We've talked about it multiple times here. Do you want to allow multiple players to line up behind the quarterback and push the pile forward? Do you want to allow players to ultimately assist ball carriers? In this particular instance, the tush push, which has been damn near unstoppable with the Eagles and has been a tough stop with the Buffalo Bills. We'll see what they do with that. I don't want them to mess with it. I think it's an identity of those two teams. And it's two teams. It's not like half the league's using it.
What's your gut feeling on this?
Oh, I don't think they
do anything.
I don't think they change the rules. I think they let it ride.
Tweak it. Do you think they just keep it?
No, I don't think they mess with it at all. I mean, to me, if the only way you do mess with it is just to outlaw it completely, the alignment, the assisting. I don't know how you start tweaking it, but we'll see. We'll see what they end up doing. The other one I think that brings more eyeballs is, I did not realize this was on the table, boys. I did not realize that playoff reseeding was on the table. The thought is here. They're considering seeding the playoffs strictly by record,
like they do in basketball, the East and Western Conference,
and which unfortunately would not be good. Typically, I mean, at least historically speaking, for us here in Houston, because you get the division and you get a home game. You know, that could end up being a negative. But me, as the football guy in me, is I'm good with that. The others, I guess. Reseeding topic is reseeding after the first round of the playoffs as well. Now, I don't know if that means...
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if that means, like... Yeah, but I guess it has to.
Because I feel like they do it anyway. I feel like after the first round of the playoffs, whoever the top seed is plays the lowest seed possible.
Well, yeah, no, but you would reseed, like put those teams back together and reseed them. Like one of those teams may bump up. I don't know exactly how that would work, but reseeding after the first round of the playoffs. So we'll see. I like the thought of seeding differently. A lot like college football playoffs, Ron. I like the thought of, let's seed this thing with the best football teams in the playoffs. Let's seed them one through whatever, however many teams you got in the playoffs in the NFL, however many teams you're whatever you're at in college football, and let's roll that way. I mean, other than the fact that it's a big time benefit to us because we play in a crappy division, I don't like the thought of you know, rewarding someone for playing in a crappy division.
It always feels weird. Like, we've seen it a couple of times. I think Carolina and Seattle both hosted playoff games
sub 500,
yeah. Right? Like that feels weird. I think maybe the Vikings and also, to understand, Clint, college football falls into this. I think college basketball falls into this a bit in certain places. Like, home court advantage or home field advantage is huge in football.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that the Minnesota Vikings were a game away from being the number one overall seed and then had to travel to L.A. instead of playing at home. And, Tyler, you've been to U.S. Bank Stadium and seen how that's a real home crowd.
Oh, yeah. That skull thing was for real.
That's a big difference from playing in L.A. And they won 14 games.
14 games played on the road in the first round
because
of
the playoffs. They had Green Bay, Detroit in their division who they both had to play. And, you know, they were sitting over there with, you know, the Cardinals and the Niners who took a step back and the Seahawks. Like, I agree.
Yeah, that's a good pull right there, Ron. I mean, that would have took the Rams to Minnesota versus flip-flopping that the way that ended up, which they ended up playing in Arizona because of the wildfires in California. But, I'm here for it, man. It's hard for me to say that as a Texans fan, again, because we are a team that benefits from the sorry division. But, man, I like seeding things straight up, bro. One through, you know, just eliminating the division winners and just one through however many you're letting in.
All right, coming up, how much are the Texans affected by, or I'm sorry, the Texans.
That was rewind.
How much are the Astros affected by the news that hit them over the weekend? We'll discuss that.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Colton Gordon gets the ball tonight. He's going to make his second start. ERA. Okay, CG in the building. His ERA. I'm not feeling either one of those yet, man.
Let's go, Big C.
You think? I got it. Here we go, Gordo. Let's go, Gordo.
Went Lizzie McGuire with it, huh?
Yeah. Gordo?
I need Tyler to sell me that Big C one more time.
Let's just do it one more time.
Let's go, Big C.
I don't know. I don't even think you're feeling it.
I like Gordo.
Gordo?
Maybe trying to force this Big C thing at this point.
Big C! I like how he comes down. If you see him on YouTube or Twitch, you can see him. He's coming down from a crouch position. Big C!
Big C!
Gordo and Gordo out there. But no, he gets the ball. And Clint, he's probably going to get the ball maybe every 5-6 days at this point, the way we're looking at it. And we kind of suspected this. We've joked around. But yes, Todd Callis kind of brought this to the forefront on the broadcast, the other day, where he said looks like he's going to have season-ending surgery. It is. He is going to have Tommy John surgery. Hayden Wisniewski said he is going to get that as soon as possible. So he is ruled out for not just this season, but imagine into next season. We'll just see how long that is, but now that means he is up out of this rotation. And Clint, right now, Framber and Hunter Brown, as you just mentioned, have been a great 1-2 punch about the last, you know, four starts or so. Obviously, Hunter Brown's been doing it all year. Ronel Blanco has seemed to turn things around a bit, and you're starting to get an understanding of what you get from Ronel. It's going to be probably 5-6 innings of something that should give you a chance to get it. Like, he had some moments, but he's not getting blown off the mat very often. Lance McCullers, he's still trying to kind of find it. He's involved in this. Whenever Spencer Arrighetti's timetable, I would imagine he's going to come back at some point this season. I'd imagine he's going to come back at some point before the All-Star break. Now, Tyler's crossing his fingers back there. I'd imagine so. I would imagine in the next month, I would hope that he's back. Colton Gordon, who we just talked about, Ryan Gusto's been involved. Then there's some maybes, maybe Luis Garcia. We know he had a setback, probably wouldn't bet on that. Any words on JP France? I'm not certain. I know, who did they just call up, Tyler, to be a part of the taxi squad? Let me look it up. I know they just brought Brandon Walter. They just brought up the left-hander. Brandon Walter is going to be on the staff, and he may get him a start coming up soon.
I knew it was a very white name. I just couldn't remember.
BW, he'll be up. to be a part of this team. So that looks like some of the options. And I just throw this one out because right now this has become a serious thing, right? For sure, no more is he luxury Lance. This is a Lance that you got to have. Hell, Spencer Arrighetti, you need to get your ass back and hurry up. Ronel Blanco, they got to have him. Fellas, do you think that the Astros are in a point right now where they need to make a starting pitching move soon? Like they need to go outside of the organization? We know they waited right to the deadline last year to add Mr. Kikuchi. But do you think they may need to do that sooner or later with where their pitching staff is right now?
Yeah, look, I think I'm betting that when that time comes that they absolutely do.
Think they can hold off a little bit? You don't think they?
Well, yeah,
they
get Spencer Arrighetti back in the fold here, and what is this year? What do we make of Spencer Arrighetti's year? What do you make of whatever action he does see before the deadline comes and goes? And I think that'll tell you a lot, because if you compare Spencer Arrighetti with what you've already gotten from Framber Valdez and Hunter Brown, you got to feel really good about your chances in a series. You'd like to have, like you said, you run out Blanco as your fourth or Lance McCullers as your fourth. You'd like to have other options there. You'd like to have some more insurance policies there. But the reality is you don't necessarily have to have it, right? If there's somebody else somewhere else that you need at the deadline, you can go get that. So I need to see what Spencer Arrighetti's made of. But if I were betting on it, I'd bet that they get to a place where they need to.
Yeah, when you put it there, if they get Spencer and Spencer, whenever that comes back, because I think Clint has made a very key point whenever he brings this up and he finally gets over the incident, that this is something where you'd imagine he's not been able to throw. And he's going to have to get his arm, they're going to have to get his arm up to speed to starting, right? And so that's going to probably take a little longer with him. But you got to see what Spencer Arrighetti you're going to get back. Because if Spencer is pitching the way he was towards the end of the season, then, yeah, you can roll with, you know, Ronel and maybe Lance being your fourth and fifth starters, or if Lance takes a step. But to me, outside of that, boy, it does – you seem to be working with potential injury players and Lance McCullers. And then just young guys that I think you may want to avoid getting a lot of run, and Gordon and Gusto in the rotation. So, boy, I don't know if they – we'll see over the next couple of weeks, Clint, but I wonder if Dana Brown's going to have to get maybe a little aggressive earlier to add potentially to his pitching staff.
Well, the good thing is like if it's a ripple effect of Wisniewski – you know, that injury, and it's a ripple effect of, you know, Lance McCullers, you know, maybe looking like he's going to take a little longer. I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying if that's the way the organization feels.
Yeah.
Then you're looking at a mid to lower level starter. You're not looking at a top. You're not looking at some of the moves they've made, the Verlander move they made, you know, back several years ago. You're not looking at that. It'd be nice, but you're not looking at that. You're looking at it's more defined of what exactly you need, I guess is where I was going with that.
Yeah. By the way, the lineup is out, Clint, and we've got a bit of a shift here from the last time we've talked on the air. Pena is continuing to lead off with Paredes hitting second now, and Altuve hitting third, playing second base. I wonder if Jose said, you know what, Skip? I think Paredes would be great hitting in the two spot.
It's a problem.
He dropped me down to three. With him hitting third, and then Christian Walker hitting fourth. Diaz is the DH tonight with Caratini catching. They are five and six in the order. And then Jake Myers in center field. And then Cam Smith gets a start in right field. And Chaz McCormick in left field. That is the lineup today. Altuve now in the three spot.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I mean, we talked about it before. I like Altuve's free swinging ass lower in the lineup, and especially the way Pena hits it with his speed, and Paredes. He's going to be good wherever you put him, and he's bringing a little pop with that yep. average now, and so, yeah, I'm good with it, man.
Just a note, last time Altuve batted third for the Astros, 2020.
Hell, I don't even remember that.
I didn't either. COVID year. Shout out Will Kunkel for that.
Hell, he'd get to the three spot. That must have had some injuries or something. I mean, that is
Yeah, that was that weird COVID year, huh?
I was going to say, Springer's on the team. Correa's on the team. And third right there. So that's it behind Colton Gordon as they play the Tampa Bay Rays tonight. So they need to get back on track here and keep this thing rolling after splitting a four-game set with the Rangers. Coming up as we continue, a report on Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb, who has been an all-pro running back, had that devastating injury two seasons ago for the Browns. There may be a connection with the Texans. We'll discuss what that.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looks like coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
As I see this coming around on the text line and YouTube and Twitch, Kick Rocks on YouTube and Twitch. Christian Walker should be in the eighth spot. Someone on the text line, they need to get Walker's ass out of the cleanup spot. As we look at the lineup, he stays in there. And I'm going to watch tonight. If this continues, this 207 that he's rolling out there, he's got the lowest, outside of Chaz McCormick, which isn't even unfair, in the lineup. He's got by far the lowest average and OPS. If this thing continues, we might have to have a conversation tomorrow about Christian Walker. What's going on there, man?
The interesting thing is, at first, Christian Walker's untouchable in this lineup. Not necessarily in the four hole, but just I'm talking about in the lineup, right? But if you look at this thing, you've also got Cam Smith, who is really, for all intents and purposes, been limited big time because Zach DiCenzo's swinging it well and contributing. But don't forget, Zach can also play first base. Mm-hmm. So you've got a older veteran that you brought in here to produce that's not produced, and you got DiCenzo that can play first base, and you've got a rookie in Cam Smith that was on the opening day roster that needs to be on the field. How does that dynamic play out if Christian Walker continues to struggle at first base and Zach DiCenzo continues to swing the ball well? At what point do you say, hey, man, that young guy that we kept on the roster opening day that's not getting run in Sugarland right now, he needs to be on the field at all costs, and that cost could be Christian Walker. Now, look, I'm not saying you should do it. I'm just saying at some point the conversation is going to turn there if Christian Walker doesn't pick it up.
No.
Especially with the PTSD that we have here in Houston with first base.
There it is. Now you're in the conversation here. Hey, dude, this is looking eerily similar. Like, I am scared to do it. I want to see what Abreu's numbers were up to this point the last two seasons.
No! Oh, God!
He ain't that bad. I don't even think he's close.
Yeah, I would just like to. I would like to see.
I'm pretty sure Abreu was sub 100, wasn't he? Hell, I can look.
We don't have to do that right now. I mean, he was hitting in the 160s, wasn't he? One of them. I know it was bad. But I don't know.
Last year?
Last year too. I don't know. It was. I mean, it was rough to start. 2 years ago, remember, it was a rough go of it to start as well. Before Jeff Bagwell kept telling us he's gonna hit. Now he eventually kind of did, but kept doing it. I'm just saying it's gonna be a conversation out there.
All I will tell you at this moment, and we can circle back if we need to. Might be bad for my mentals, but we can circle back. All I'm gonna tell you right now is this time last season is whenever Abreu had been shipped off to a different league.
It happened this early?
Yeah.
Really? Was it this early?
Yeah.
I guess it is May 19th. Damn, he didn't get through May on that? God, dog, he was in that Florida Complex League by then? Dog, hide it.
When he was sent to said Complex League, I lied. I'm going to go ahead and give you this information. He was hitting an astounding 99.
Just under 100.
His batting average was 99.
We ain't quite there yet with Christian Walker. I understand the frustration, but we ain't quite there.
Gotta be maybe year one of Abreu. Gotta be year one of Abreu approaching that early year. God. Year one of Abreu. I want to see what year one was. Yeah, that was awful.
He made his return on May 27th.
Good Lord.
Got a hit.
He did get a hit opposite field. I'm certain of it. And then trick Clint into saying, I do like that part about a swing, that he will go oppo. All right, Clint, there's been some links of, all right, Nick Chubb, he's still out there. I saw him. When I say his knee looks better, I saw him doing some sort of one-legged hops over hurdles. Like on that one leg.
Yep.
I think he did it backwards too. I may have made that portion up. I've got Bo Jackson in me, but it looked like, if I remember, he was doing hops over hurdles.
Yeah.
On just one leg on that surgically repaired knee. And there have been links with him with several teams, including the Houston Texans, Clint. Now, the Texans obviously have Joe Mixon, who was a Pro Bowler in the AFC last year. They've got Damian Pierce. And they've got Dare Ogunbowale, special teams ace. And they've moved up in this year's draft, giving a third-round pick in next year's draft to go up in the fourth round to get Woody Marks. So they have some guys back there, Clint, and guys in that backfield. But your thoughts when you hear potential links of Nick Chubb could be an option?
Yeah, for me, to be clear, I mean, what I saw was more or less just a graphic that said, hey, these are teams that could be interested in free agent running backs, and the Texans were one of them with Chubb. I don't know how realistic it is or it isn't, but it created some thought for me personally. I just think, again, I know they went out and got Woody Marks, and I really like Woody Marks, but you're still in a position where your running back room is missing a piece. You know, there is, I think it's a lot to ask of Woody Marks to come in and retain and be able to apply at an NFL level an NFL playbook from jump this year. I think that is a big load. I think it's unfair to ask a rookie running back to do that. And especially when you have a rookie offensive coordinator, you have a quarterback that's taken over the reins and carrying more responsibility for the first time, and you have an offensive line that's full of I'd say journeymen and 1 and 2 year deals that have a major issue to fix in pass protection. I think it'd be borderline reckless to ask Woody Marks, who spent 2 years with some of the most prolific air raid minds in the college game, in Mike Leach and Lincoln Riley. I think it'd be borderline reckless to ask Woody Marks to do more than just kind of ease into being a pro. And kind of, let's ease in with you be the third down back, and you understand these are the 10 pages of the playbook. You got to know like the back of your hand, and you got to be able to help us big time in 2-minute situations, in third down situations, in obvious passing situations. You got to be our guy right there. Like, I think it's probably unfair to ask him to do more. If he can, cool, but I think it's unfair to ask him. I still believe where this team can get better, Ron, is if their number two running back is better than Damian Pierce, who they've already shown us they don't believe in. Yeah. They don't believe in him from a pass protection standpoint. They don't believe in him catching the ball in the backfield. They don't believe in him just being a running back and turn around and handing the ball to him 7-8 times a game to make sure that Joe Mixon stays healthy throughout. I believe that if they have the money, I don't know what the contract's going to look like, but if they have the money, getting a veteran running back like a Nick Chubb would be a huge get for this offense. You get a guy that is very, very similar to Joe Mixon in a sense of they're going to know the whole playbook. They're going to be able to play as many snaps as you'd like them to play. They're going to be able to pass protect their ass off. There's just a veteran understanding and a talent level that I think is very similar to Joe Mixon. I'm not saying they're stylistically the same. I'm just saying it is for sure when you bring them in. You give me Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb, and Woody Marks as your third down back. I like the depth. I like the insurance policy. I like the future potential there. And I like the slow play of Woody Marks into the offense. I would love it.
Well, I think there are two things for me that I would need to wrap my mind around. One, I believe Woody Marks can eventually at some point be a difference maker in his role.
Agreed.
And I don't want that to be diminished. I think there's a chance there that he can, like, you remember Jerick McKinnon?
Mm-hmm.
That's who, like, that can run it tough, yep. But can catch
number
the ball.
Number one out there in Kansas City with y'all.
Them at Minnesota, San Francisco was really good out of backfield. Those yep. spots, too. Yep. Like, that's the – and he was a huge, huge part of the Chiefs offense, mm-hmm. the Minnesota offense, Niners offense out of the backfield. I can see potentially Woody getting to that level.
The two cats that they've had in Philly recently.
Yeah, Gainwell.
Gainwell was one of them. There's another one.
And then
there
it was Scott. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So I don't want that to get touched up. And then the other part for me is I think I just have to wrap my mind around the fact that, like, in my mind, it feels like Joe Mixon and Nick Chubb get in there and don't believe themselves to be 10 to 15 carry backs or a 10 carry back
yeah.
or an 8 to, you know, 12 carry back. And maybe Nick Chubb is in a spot where he is ready to play the Kareem Hunt role, right? Kareem Hunt got there and was like, "All right, I'm Nick Chubb's backup in yeah. Cleveland, and I'm willing to pay." Now, obviously, Kareem was just looking, hoping to get a gig after his issues, but he was accepting of, "Yes, I was a starter and led the league in rushing, and now I'm prepared to get, you know, 8 to 12 carries yeah. a game." It's just, maybe I just need to wrap my mind around that Nick Chubb is that, and that Joe Mixon is going to be all right with, you know, yeah. giving up that.
Well,
that
Joe's a smart dude. Joe knows that last year, what we watched last year, can't happen. When the offensive coordinator late in the season is legitimately saying, "Well, damn, y'all want us to throw him the ball, and he's already playing too many snaps. We can't even get him involved the way we want him to get him involved." Which I don't know exactly what that means, but that is what the offensive coordinator was alluding to. I think it's about the Texans for me, and if you're the Houston Texans, you cannot be a Joe Mixon sprained ankle away from having guy an all out rookie have to carry the load, or you're playing a guy that you've already shown everybody you don't trust, or you're playing a subpar talent in Dari Ogunbowale. Because you trust him and it's safe back there. Like, you cannot, this offense cannot be one rolled ankle away for a month to being in that situation again. Just can't happen. That's where this team can get better. Joe Mixon is not going to be able to play and stay healthy for 18 weeks and carry the football as physically and as violently as he did last year.
All right, coming up a little 5 o'clock fire as we continue to roll through. We'll get you ready for the Astros. There's a lineup change. A major player in the order has been moved. We'll let you know the latest on that and the rest of everything happening in the sports world. We'll get you ready. A little 5 o'clock fire coming up next.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now. And what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and, like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series, where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.